And I don't want to end up on the news by drop-kicking a nun down the stairs. Yeah, boy, I'm going to be getting into this computer hardware right now. Hello, and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse.
The Nerd's Way.
Oh, yeah. Got you. But yes, The Nerd's Way. I'm your host, Adam. No, you're not. You are now removed from this podcast, and I shall bring forth the guest, which I have hidden under the table this entire time.
Oh, no. But, Adam, my voice! I'm getting my voice!
It's also Adam, a clone which I've had prepared. Adam, it's good to see you. Yes, it's good to see you as well, Adam. Well, shall we begin this podcast? Well, I guess we could, but perhaps it might be prudent for us to murder John live on air. I think that might be a good idea. But for now, let us continue. John, get up.
Send help.
Anyway.
So this podcast is just another podcast with the two dudes chatting to each other with basically no preparation or any content of value whatsoever.
Yes, but basically it is just us sitting around chatting. It's having a conversation, and we'd like you to join us. So all social media pretty much we're on. Search The Nerd's Way. And we would be happy to have your feedback and or, I don't know, conversational topics.
Yes, please help us. We're alone in the world.
Yes, indeed. But nonetheless,
we have actually planned this episode out. I've got a whole list of dot points for each topic.
We have a spreadsheet.
Oh, it's incredible.
Can't have The Nerd's Way without a spreadsheet. But what have you been up to the past week anyways, John?
Well, I did some gardening, I think. I did some of that.
The gardener. That's fair. And
programming, which is my job, so that I can live.
I tried sleeping.
And the main purpose of living is just so that I can have time to edit this podcast.
And garden.
And garden.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
The podcast is your only escape.
Oh, wow. Anyway, so you've been trying to sleep?
Yeah, I've been trying. I've been taking temazepam and I can't even remember what the other one was called. Anyway, regardless,
it was probably the one that you're supposed to take to help your memory.
But yeah, not as effective as I would have hoped, but that's all right. So today I went and saw Avengers Infinity War, a relatively interesting movie, the culmination of 10 years of cinema. It had such... Everyone has such high expectations about this film. You can't deny it. Everybody's been looking forward to it. I'm sure it's broken some sort of record already.
I can't believe it's only been 10 years since Iron Man.
Yeah, 2008.
Also, can't believe it's already been 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like forever ago and just yesterday at the same time.
And Robert Downey Jr. has not aged in the slightest because, let's face it, he's a god. So,
well, I mean, they can't prove that. I thought that was a well-kept secret by Hollywood.
They try. But, I mean, like Keanu Reeves, that guy hasn't aged either.
He's incredible.
He must bathe in the blood of children to keep that skin.
I don't think so. Because, do you know, have you seen all those videos that people have found, like Keanu Reeves just takes the subway in New York?
Yeah.
And he's, like, getting up and, like, giving people seats and stuff. Like, I think that maybe the real Keanu Reeves escaped the Matrix and they've replaced him with a robot that just does normal stuff.
Maybe. Or... Maybe he's a nice person. Unlikely. But yeah, I mean, yeah, good bloke. And bathes in the blood of children. You heard it here first on Surviving the Apocalypse in the Nerd's Way.
No.
So yeah, when I saw Infinity War, I liked it, but there are some small problems with it.
Okay.
That I found. I'm not going to go into spoilers or anything like that, so it's fine.
Okay, some small problems. Like Ant-Man?
Ant-Man's not even in it.
What?
No, but there is a new movie coming out.
Okay.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay,
and it has... We've spoken about it before. Yeah, an actress. Her name was Evangeline Lilly. That's her.
Ah, yes, from
Lord of the Rings
and
Lost. Yeah, she's in it, and she's the Wasp. It's actually really, really good. Like, the trailer looks awesome, so Tote's going to see that. I can't believe I just used the word Totes. I'm going to go and cut myself.
Okay, so Ant-Man, I wasn't a massive fan of the superhero, but his second in command is so funny. And, like, the way that he talks, like, Michael Peña? Peña? How do you say that name?
I have no idea.
Anyway, Michael Peña, he is so funny. And the way they tell the story and cut and it shows people talking, but in his voice, as if he was saying what they were saying. So funny, because he has this hilarious way of talking.
I loved the movie, Ant-Man. Mm. I had such low expectations.
Okay.
And going in there, like, I was just blown away because it was so fun. It was just a good old, you know, not good old fashioned, because that would be, you know, like, oh boy, let's go out and, you know, go into the fields. But no, it was just an excellent film. I thoroughly enjoyed. So Ant-Man and the Wasp looks good. But yeah, he wasn't in the Infinity War.
I guess there's too many characters.
Yeah, there was a lot. Plus side to them, I did find that they managed the characters well enough. I mean, they had so many. Obviously, being all the movies coming together, essentially. They had so many. But I think they did a pretty good job of trying to give people enough screen time.
Great.
So, yeah, that was great fun. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. Like I said, problems with it. I'm a huge fan of Doctor Strange because it's magic.
It's
Benedict Cumberbatch. Even with an American accent, he's still a god among men.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was quite fun. I've been surprised today that the North Korean dictator, or leader, has crossed the South Korean, like the demilitarized zone surrounding the, dividing the countries.
Whoa.
For the first, like, he's the first leader of North Korea to ever do it, ever since the end of the Korean conflict. It is a huge step towards peace. In fact, just about 2 hours ago, they have signed a treaty.
No way.
Heading towards the complete and total denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Wow.
So Korea to dismantle all its nuclear testing sites and all that other fun stuff. So huge fun. And I say this because that means the apocalypse isn't going to be caused by the North Koreans.
We did it, guys. We survived the apocalypse.
It's all the nerds' way. We did it. It was all our fans. Yeah, well done, guys.
All right, that's the end of the podcast. Yeah. See you guys.
Yep, you can quite proudly say that it was the nerd's way that ended the North Korean conflict.
Can I just quickly say, like, this is especially relevant for us here in Australia because, I mean, there's a world map behind your head and I don't really know where Korea is, but I'm pretty sure it's right there and then Australia is right there.
I think from what I heard or from the last infographics I've the... The missiles that the North Koreans had available to them could strike Darwin. That's all.
We don't really need Darwin.
No, mate. No one knows what that is. Anyway, so... Right. So...
Crisis averted.
Crisis averted. No more North Korean worry. Happy with that. Now we just need to worry about the Russians. So, let's rally our Nerds Way forces and start a very stern letter-writing campaign to both America and the Russians about peace.
Let's be best friends because we're all soon enough going to be zombies
Indeed.
Eating each other.
Or turned into the grey goo sea. Now, a recommendation for our fine listeners, especially for those who know that I do play a couple of games here and there. I do like Blizzard games, Overwatch, WoW, Heroes of the Storm. I hesitate to say Destiny, but you know, Destiny as well at times. Regardless, so there is a podcast that I'm recommending to you fine people, and hopefully one of their presenters, one of their hosts, will be joining us on the Nerds Way.
Oh my goodness.
In the future.
That's exciting. Yes. What is it, Adam? What is it?
The podcast is called Lagging Balls.
Oh.
Now, obviously in reference to the old days when one is fiddling around on their computer and they start getting internet lag, which causes quite a bit of frustration when you're in the middle of important things. So, warning, fair warning to our fair listeners, so you don't want to be listening to the podcast when you have little ones in the car who are sensitive to language and certain jokes.
Sure.
But I thoroughly enjoy listening to them. It's hosted by Thorn and Thist, two very down-to-earth, brilliant folk who I highly recommend. And Thorn will possibly be coming onto the podcast in the future. So keep an ear out for that, dear folks.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
Mm. So you have to Skype in, because obviously he's in America, so we'll have to work that out.
I'm sure we will.
Yep, and then we'll set Darwin onto his computer, and then, well, Darwin can get into American technology.
Danger, Will Robinson. So, I just lost... I'll put some effects on that.
Okay,
so
good.
Cool. So I just watched the new Netflix series of... Lost in Space.
What episode are you up to?
Episode 1.
Oh, okay. So you watched the first episode.
Yes, I watched the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what can I say? Wow. I am just so impressed at what technology can do nowadays. Like, I don't know. It just looks so high budget, but I know it's not.
It like, really the, does.
The graphics, the cinematography is just all outstanding. All the actors do a great job as well. And they really have this... Yeah, they get the tone right. Like, it's... There's a bit of awkward dynamic between everyone.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel too awkward. Like, it feels realistic in terms of, like, each of the family members has their own...
speciality, like, to a certain extent.
Yeah, and, like, they don't always get along. But they still have a chemistry on screen, even though they do have those difficulties as characters.
It feels like an actual family.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, families have those type of dynamics where it's slightly awkward, especially when you're coming into those teenage years and you're just like, oh, I'm 16, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, if I said that, I'd be sacrificed to, you know, some Tyrannosaurus Rex back in the prehistoric age.
People are going to have a very interesting opinion of your mother.
She's a wonderful woman. She's just, you know, pure evil. Yeah, Lost in Space, one of my favorite TV shows. I actually said recently that this has the capacity to be the science fiction version of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
A
quite different market, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, Game of Thrones is fantasy-orientated, of course, and huge. It's fantastic. You know, it's got all this, you know, money for budgets and everything. Lost in Space is a cult classic back in the 60s, maybe even 70s. But regardless.
65. Started.
There you go. So, Lost in Space has this cult following. And then with this new series, this new Netflix series, has just blown me away. I'm totally going to be watching the next season that comes out. It's fantastic. I do, like, there are some annoyances I have with the series.
Okay.
So, you haven't seen this character yet. I don't like Dr. Smith.
Ah.
I'm not sure
so if... So, Dr. Smith has been gender flipped.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. It's more along the lines of I can't pin it down if it's the character. Like, sorry, not the character. I can't pin it down if it's the writing or the story surrounding the character. It is difficult to find. There's no balance there, I find. It's very annoying. The character is very annoying.
Is it hard to understand her motivations?
To an extent. Her motivation would be survival. With some of the things she does throughout the series, it's either very, like, when it comes to story, it's either very coincidental that she's happened upon this certain stuff, or it's, I don't know, luck. But in my opinion, that could just be bad writing for certain things. But the inverse for Mrs. Smith, okay, so Dr. Smith, right? I find her to be a weak character in the series.
Mm.
There's too many. Not flaws, but there's flaws in the writing, not in the character, right? The inverse is true for Mrs. Robinson. She is a fantastic female lead. She is a brilliant character to have on this show because she has her flaws in her character, which are well written in, and then she has this amazing strength which she brings to the show. And it's
fantastic. Just the way she was telling her children what to do while she was, like, bleeding out from this incredible, like, leg breakage.
Yeah, but how cool were... I actually got shivers, and I didn't even watch the original series.
Mm.
But when Will comes back with this robot, he just turns to her and goes, "Danger, Will Robinson."
Yeah.
And it's like, "Ooh!" Tingles up the spine.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I love what they've done with the robot. Like, it looks so menacing when it's got, like, it's in its battle form.
It's... I don't know. It has this, like... Because I think they CG'd it in there. But it has this, like, real feel to it.
Mm.
It's almost as if, like, maybe they combined it with...
I think they have.
Like, a real, actual robot.
Mm. I don't know if it was a real robot. I'd say in a suit.
Yeah, that. But, yeah, because it has two different forms, right? It has the original form, and then it's like, oh, I'll be a human
you
now.
Look, yeah, like, I can transform myself into a humanoid, because that's what you are.
And I just love it, like... Because it, I don't know, it feels more real. It feels like it's actually there, not just like some CG thing that's just pasted in there.
Oh, what we should do, actually, if we're talking about Lost in Space, is the premise.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. I'm so excited about this series. I've watched it all, and I'm going to watch it again. It's worthy. So, it starts off with this family, the Robinsons, sitting around this table strapped into chairs. And they're in zero gravity because they're throwing these cards out into zero gravity and people are catching them. And they're playing Go Fish. And it's very quickly discovered that they're hurtling through space, crashing into a planet.
It's like, why is everyone so grim while they're playing cards?
So they crash land, and I'm not going to spoil much here. So the premise is these people have to survive on this planet. And obviously they have challenges. This isn't the planet they're supposed to be on. Earth is dying. There's like mass evacuations, and they've left on this ship called the Resolute. They've left on the ship called the Resolute, and they've got a whole bunch of these pods called, what are they, Jupiters?
Yes, Jupiters.
Yeah, something like that. And basically, they're pods and living quarters for when you arrive on the planet on Alpha Centauri. So, they land in this planet that shouldn't be here, and they've got troubles. They've got problems. And, yeah, it's good fun. It's very enjoyable. It's not tedious, boring. The teenagers get on my nerves sometimes. Because I'm just like, oh, teenagers. I remember being hormonal and annoying like that. But, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed.
So, I think something that people might remember is the 1998 movie, even if they don't remember the 1965 CBS television series. Mm-hmm. They did actually make a 1998 movie, which I saw. I never saw the original series, but my dad always liked it, so we watched the Lost in Space film back when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually starring Matt LeBlanc, who is from Friends as Joey.
Yeah. What is he playing that?
I think... I have very bad memory. No, that's he right. plays Major Don West.
Oh, okay. Right,
I think it's someone that they find there on the planet. Not sure. Anyway, it was a long time ago that I watched this show.
Mm.
So maybe people might remember that better than the actual Lost in Space original series.
Mm.
Mm. But yeah, I was quite surprised. I was like, oh, they're making a Netflix series already. And then I looked at the movie, 1998. So it's been 20 years since it came out.
Already?
There's probably
time. Puzzle Limited. I mean, they're already making Lord of the Rings. So, you know.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Yeah. New Amazon series.
That's going to be scary.
Scary?
I don't know. They might get it wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's scary. True. Yeah. So
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be Gandalf. No, I'm just kidding.
No, don't do that. As much as I love the guy, but they'll probably try and give him, I don't know, a Cockney accent. No. What would they?
Hello there.
Oh, g'day, governor. Yeah, yeah. You shan't pass. No, mate. You got to give me a solid fitty.
Is that Cockney or Australian?
It's both.
Like, neither of those accents are anything like Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, they're not, no. But, I can't get Cockney or Australian Benedict Cumberbatch out of my head now. Can't be any worse than his American accent.
Okay, but moving on back to Lost in Space. So, one of the things I noticed about the series is they have... I don't know, I've only watched the first episode, so maybe you can correct me if this isn't what they keep doing.
Certainly.
But it has this almost educational element to it. Like, they're throwing in that science-y type stuff, like magnesium burns 8 times hotter than, like, all this
Not
stuff.
A lot.
Okay, I just noticed it a lot.
There's, like little bits and pieces here and there, but I'm sure some of it might be almost fake in a certain manner, which would really annoy our guest that we had on last week.
Yeah, maybe Tyson can chime in.
But I love some of the stuff that they've done. Like, okay, an episode in the... that you haven't seen yet, obviously.
La la la.
Oh, no, it's not so much a spoiler. Okay. She gets lifted up. She makes this contraption, which lifts her into the outer atmosphere of the planet. She's got a spacesuit on, so it's fine. And she's trying to take readings of what's going on because she's noticed something's a bit off.
Mm.
And she discovers Hawking radiation, which is the radiation which surrounds or gets emitted from a black hole.
Oh, yeah. We know that from Interstellar, don't we?
So there were... Yeah, I'm not going to go into what that means, but, you know, for the series anyways. So, yeah, she was, you know... I just love the ingenuity of the show, and the graphics are spectacular. The robot's fantastic. Just real good. Real good. Recommend it. I would give it... I would give it an 8 severed thumbs out of 10.
Oh, gross. Yeah, just before we move on, it was interesting that you made the comparison to Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we've said, the tone is nothing like it doesn't have the same content. But in terms of being able to create this universe that keeps going and a story that people want to keep coming back to, I think it's so true.
Mm.
And they really hit the nail on the head, like, in terms of things going wrong. Because in real life, there's no convenient plot line overarching where, oh, and now it just happened that this great other thing happened that tends to happen in movies and TV shows.
Mm.
But the more modern TV shows have these plot lines where everything that can go wrong does go wrong.
Yeah.
And it feels way more realistic. And plus, and the dramatic horrifying. Tension is like, mm-hmm. because I was thinking, this is not a violent show. It's not like overly scary. There's no jump scares or anything. But the tension was huge. You were like, how are they going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. And just from the way they wrote it and edited it and put it together, it's refreshing.
Yeah, they keep doing that as well. So it's not just one-off thing. There's like constant problems that they have to, you know, overcome, be it because they find other survivors.
Sure.
Their main ship up in the, you know, up in space is called the Resolute. Their antenna's broken, so they can't communicate with them, but they keep broadcasting. So it's just like, yes, this is day 7. We're here orbiting still, yada, yada, yada. So it's very good, very entertaining, highly recommended. Watch it, or you may suffer.
It's a theoretical suffering of not being able to enjoy the show. It's that, not a real...
Or you may actually suffer. I mean, I don't know that for certain. I'm just hypothesizing that it is a possibility that if you don't watch this show, in one of the infinite universes, because you haven't watched this show, suffering will come to you.
Oh, dear.
Mm, right?
Oh, that's scary.
All transition. Right. I thought it'd be fun and a little... Well, I'm giving our listeners a greater insight into our psyche here. I'd like us to talk about fears.
Now, we've talked about this a bit on the show before, how fear can help you survive the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
We had that whole episode where we watched It and we talked about horrifying things. And then, of course, the Halloween edition where we talked about scary games that you can play at 3 a.m.
12 to 3.
All right.
Yep. The midnight game.
Well, technically, you're still playing at 3 a.m. So I have a fear that Adam is going to kill me because of that. Fear can help you. In a way.
Definitely. The trick is not letting fear cloud your mind.
Mm.
So, fear can give you an adrenaline boost. It's like the fight or flight syndrome, really, which comes back to how we've evolved. If you are being chased, or if you come into a situation where you feel you're in danger, blood is going to start flowing to your extremities, which is going to regenerate either the fight or flight syndrome to give you greater energy to run away from the problem or greater energy to fight the problem. But you run into the problem of, red outs, which is being overcome with anger. So anger replacing fear in that fight. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Just imagine being an owl looking down and seeing a field mouse just scurrying along. And then the field mouse sees the shadow of the owl starting to overcome it. And then all of a sudden, it's fight or flight. The mouse doesn't have much of a chance, so its only real option is to flee. I was going to say flight, now, but that doesn't really work.
The other thing about fear is there is actually a third option here, which I'm not sure if you've ever experienced.
Okay.
It's the freeze up response.
The goat response.
You literally don't know what to do and you're just stuck.
Goats do this. Have you seen it?
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, continue.
Do you know what else does this?
Mm-hmm.
Kangaroos. If you're driving on the road, there's like a kangaroo on the side of the road. It's like hopping along and it like sees the headlights and it's like, and it just stops there.
It freezes. It's so annoying.
But happens then,
down all the time down on site.
Yeah. Mm. And then the worst thing is it will try and like hop across the road and then it'll go, wait, no, the lights are coming. Oh, hop back the other way. And I was going to miss it. And then I hit the kangaroo a bit.
Yeah. It's never a fun experience.
But luckily, kangaroos, not all the time, but most of the time, they come off better than your car does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are a serious creature.
They can be hardy, depending on what it is, but they can definitely be
hardy. If you don't believe me that kangaroos are tough, just look up red kangaroo right now on Google Images.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, what you see is pretty much, like, if you go to the gym, that's goals right there. That red kangaroo, look at those biceps. Oh, man. Anyway, moving on.
All right.
Where were we?
I know you're loving this kangaroo. The freeze response. Goats do it. So if you go up to a goat and clap your hands or something, or make a loud noise,
yeah,
it literally freezes up and then falls over to the side. Like, just straight falls over. It's the same thing.
Oh,
like,
my word.
Like, any type of startlement. So if they jump up onto a swing, right?
Startlement?
That's a word I'm, okay, yeah, I'm creating. On. So this goat will jump onto a swing, right? It'll swing, realize, oh, I'm about to fall, not do anything to stop the fall. It'll just freeze up and fall backwards.
Oh, man.
Seriously, YouTube goats. You will not regret it. I spend hours watching the fun. And pandas. Pandas are great. So, fear.
Yeah. I was over. So, let's talk about my fear first.
Okay.
So, all the listeners can know my greatest weakness.
Mm-hmm. And use it against you.
I was over at my friend's house just on Wednesday. It was a public holiday here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Anzac Day. To remember our troops,
mm-hmm,
the Australian New Zealand forces. Adam just did a gesture of thanks and respect.
Sure.
But now it sounds like you didn't, and I actually did.
I actually did, sorry.
It sounded like we were being sarcastic then.
No, not at all. No, not in the slightest. Respect the troops, ladies and gentlemen, always.
Yes, so I was over at his house. It was a public holiday, as you will want to do on a public holiday, try to get as much stuff around the house done. The never-ending onslaught of things to do. Oh, Adam just watches a marathon of Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I was over at my friend's house, and he has these gigantic trees that hang over his back fence. So he was like, you know what? His wife made me a cup of tea, and he was like, you know what? Let's drink this cup of tea up this tree. And so he just starts climbing. Mm-hmm. He's like, pass me your tea, puts it up at the top branch, and he's like, come on up. Now, I would say probably my biggest fear, apart from like the typical ones of rejection and blah,
existential
blah, blah.
Fears.
Yeah, existential fears. No. My physical fear is heights.
Really?
By far. Hmm. Now, I don't know if you guys can tell over the audio, but I'm 6'4" tall, or 2 meters if you're an Aussie like me. That is quite tall.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth do I have a fear of heights?
I mean, you falling over just naturally would probably cause damage to yourself, yes, you bloody lumberjack. You're too tall to begin with, so you've got heights on your side.
Mm.
I don't know, everyone has a fear of... It's not the falling that people are afraid of, it's hitting the ground.
Yes, that's right. But I figured this out.
Oh, okay.
So I know why... I've figured out why tall people are often scared of heights. Like, I've asked a few tall people and they...
Oh, I'm
6'2".
I don't have a fear of heights.
It's not that tall, mate. No.
Oh, ouch. Jeez, I missed a 6'4". You bloody... Oh, jeez. All right. Nephilim.
So, I'll keep telling the story.
Uh-huh.
What happened was I would get up onto the branch and he was trying to teach me how basically the safest way to climb, because he's a tree lover.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah.
Safest way to climb is to make sure you always have at least 3 points of contact. So that can be 2 hands and 1 foot, and then use the other foot to go across. And that's the safe way of ensuring you've got 2 points to balance and then a third point just in case something happens, right? So he was telling me to do all this, but I would get to a point where it just felt too far away, and I would freeze up and I couldn't move because of this fear of heights.
Mm-hmm. How high were you off the ground, out of curiosity?
I'm going to say 3 meters.
Oh, yeah, sure. Radio.
So it's a fair height. Like,
you're,
it would have
you're
been
one
damaged.
Meter above your head height.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Fair call. But yes, after a bit of pushing and coaching, I would actually be able to do it just fine and get to the next branch. But the fear of falling stopped me from making the move.
Oh.
Now, anyway, so there it is. I'm trying to work on my biggest fear.
Mm-hmm.
But also, going back to why I think tall people are most afraid of heights.
Okay.
I figured out why it is. I came to this realization a while back.
Is it because you're afraid a Tyrannosaurus... No, sorry, a pterodactyl is going to come and swoop you up because you're the largest, fly up into the air and then drop you?
I mean, not generally, but now I'm afraid of that, so thanks, Adam.
Okay,
man,
so why
stupid Jurassic Park resurrecting all the dinosaurs.
Oh, by the way, just as a quick note, people, Jurassic World doesn't look terrible.
Could be all right.
Yeah, sorry, but yeah, go ahead.
Star-Lord features in that one.
Star-Lord in Avengers just made me want to throw myself into the wall.
They didn't write him very well?
No.
Oh, shame. Okay.
So, yeah, why are tall people more afraid of heights?
I've been building up to this.
You have. This better blow me away, or I'm going to blow you away.
Please no, because, oh, no. Now I have another fear. It's actually quite simple. The first I thought it was, well, because we're taller, so whatever height we're at, it's actually slightly higher than everyone else. But it's not. It's more than that.
Okay.
What it is guardrails, right? Okay, so bear with me on this. Okay. So if you go up into a tall building, there'll be guardrails or a fence or something to stop you from falling over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
They will build them up to a certain height that it is above the center of gravity for most people, but not for tall people.
Mm.
My hips are above most guardrail fences, unless they're particularly tall. But my wife, who's 5 foot tall, she... Why are you laughing at that?
Oh, nothing.
There is a bit of height disparity.
There's just a bit of height difference between you two.
It's barely noticeable.
Barely. You can't see it at all.
As long as you're about 2 kilometers away. It's up to her shoulders, you know? Like, or... I don't think I said
not that,
right? That
high. Yeah.
Not quite that high. Mm-hmm. That would be a significant height disparity. No, it's up to above her hips.
Yep.
So if she were to lose her balance and fall, she would hit the guardrail and then like fall on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was to lose my balance, hit the guardrail, I will topple over if I've got any significant momentum.
Velocity, yeah.
So I'm not saying, oh man, I'm in danger. I'm just going to like fall off every high thing there is. But that part of your brain has calculated, yes, my center of gravity is above this thing. So I've got to stay away. I've got to, like, not, like, look over the edge of stuff.
Interesting theory.
So that is my theory as to why tall people are more scared of heights.
Holds water to a certain extent.
Now, don't rip up my theory because I'm trying to make myself feel better about
having this strong fear. I think it's a good theory. I'm just thinking I'm going to exploit it when next we are at a high rise.
No.
I can just quickly run at you and shove or pretend to shove you off this very high building.
I really wish I could edit this segment out of history so that I never told him.
Oh, so good. So, interesting. Now, my fear is much more... basic and weird. I don't like nuns.
Oh. That is less basic fear. I feel like it's more of a esoteric artisanal fear.
It is, totally.
Custom built for Adam.
They creep me out. I mean, no. Just nuns are creepy. And I don't know where this has come from. I honestly do not.
Did you ever go to a Catholic church?
No.
Oh, okay.
All I know is... that when... like okay, so I got to check over...
I'm going to Google creepy nuns
right
now.
Please don't. I don't like it. It makes me worried. I hate nuns. Well, no, I don't hate nuns. Normal nuns are fine. But... oh, see, look at that. I mean, look at that. No.
Oh,
yeah, look at that. I mean, look at that one.
Look at that one. Oh.
Thanks, John. That's what I needed.
That one's really creepy. Oh, man. Okay. I'm just going to close this tab now.
I don't generally... I can pretty much sit through anything. I can face down a demon slathering horde of, I don't know, whatever. But a nun shows up and I'm going to start creeping out because, so I do a couple of checks around the city and one of them is, or quite a few of them rather, are Catholic schools or Catholic churches and things like that. And as I'm walking around, there's this one place where there's like a lot of dark pockets, right? Shadows, deep shadows, sometimes behind fences, like padlocked, locked fences. And there's all these open windows. And as I'm walking around in the dark, I'm talking midnight, 3 a.m., whatever the case may be, I'm walking around and there's no lights on. So I've got a little torch out and I'm looking around. And all I can think of in my mind's eye, not actually being there, but if I put my torch past the window, all I can imagine seeing is this nun just standing in the window looking at me. Or if I go behind, like if I shine my torch behind one of the deep pockets of shadow behind locked fence, all I'm going to see is a nun with a hand stretched out through the bars, like coming for me. I bail out of those things so quick. I'm just like, yep, good, I'm out. That creeps me out. And this is one reason. I had a huge fever one night. and it was storming overhead.
Oh,
there was lightning and thunder, same place. And I kept having to go back to this place. And I've got to go through all these rooms. And this part of the section is a school. And they've got these, like, I say life size, but you're, you know, quite tall. So I'd say, like, 5.5 foot, like, sheets of paper with drawings on them.
Oh, no.
So, and, like, they're all hanging in these rooms.
This is horror movie right now.
It is. It truly is. And I've got this massive fever. Not obviously to the point of hallucination, but you're not ever thinking straight when your brain is beginning to boil. So as I'm walking through and like the lightning's going overhead, the thunder is shaking the rooms. It's quite dramatic and poetic, I must admit. but all I'm seeing in my mind's eye once again is these, like the paper shifting, and behind one of them is like this nun coming for me. Or alternatively, the sheets of paper themselves, like, being a nun, you know?
Yeah.
The, like, the drawings on them were not great because these are children, let's face it. Although, quite frankly, you could probably draw better than me. But they're there, and it just creeps the hell out of me. Just to, listeners, close your eyes unless you're driving.
Oh, man, I don't want to do this because Adam's right here.
Close your eyes.
Trust exercise.
And just imagine, it is dark. There is lightning striking overhead, illuminating the windows outside.
Good.
Creating a reflective surface of the interior. And illuminating the exterior. Then thunder breaks overhead.
Sorry, I just saw a flash of a nun then.
It rattles the windows in their frames because it's right above this room. And then, you know, you just imagine yourself being hot, sweaty, feeling sick with the flu. But your adrenaline is up because you are afraid. And you look around and all you're seeing, just out of every shadow, every corner, you see the storeroom door opening and seeing a black hooded figure come out. All these things are running through my mind, dear listeners.
Yeah.
Everybody deals with fear in different ways. Me, I like to confront my fear. So I stayed there.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I stayed there and I was audibly saying, "Let's go, nun. Let's go, nun."
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like nuns. And now my colleagues know this.
Ah.
They discovered this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And if I ever, ever have to check in on these, you know, Catholic colleges or schools or whatever, I double check to make sure that none of my colleagues are there because they will prank me or something. And I don't want to end up on the news by drop kicking a nun down the stairs. Not the way I want to become anyway known to the public. But no, everyone has their own approaches to fear. Mine is, I like to confront my fear to the most extent. I mean, if there's some type of alien race that's going to... I actually do have another fear.
Okay.
I hate... Not the movie. Okay, so like, have you ever seen Gravity?
Yes.
With Sandra Bullock? Or, well, not Interstellar so much. I don't like space.
Mm.
I don't like the idea of being, like, floating. So, you haven't seen that episode. So, in Lost in Space, for those of you who watched it, in one of the last episodes, they're in the outer atmosphere on the spaceship, and Will suddenly gets kind of thrown off the spaceship on the exterior, of course. So he's floating in space, and you can't swim in space. You can't move towards the spacecraft.
Yeah.
Once you are off, you're off. And right there, that moment, like, I was just like, that's it. That, for me, that would be it. I'd just be broken because there's nothing you can do. Watching Gravity, that was a horror movie for me.
Yeah, it was scary.
No, just gives me the shivers thinking about it. Like, just imagine being lost in that void, because you can't do anything. There's no movement. There's nothing you can push against.
Yeah.
You're just looping around. You're in an airtight sealed spacesuit. You're going to be looping around whatever gravitational force is around, be it a sun, a planet, a moon, whatever, for the rest of time.
Oh,
I don't like it. It worries me. So, yeah, nuns and...
Space.
I love stars and stuff. But
yeah.
No gravity, no air, no atmosphere. You're doomed.
So we went to our favorite bookstore tonight, Stephen's Books.
Indeed.
And as per our agreement, every time we say that name, we get sent a free book.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean,
we're just waiting on receiving those books. So anytime, Stephen.
So we went in. It was great fun. Stephen was not there. No, I know. But we did meet someone really cool as well. while Stefan is away on holiday.
Oh, right.
I think it was his birthday. So happy birthday, Stefan.
Stefan, happy birthday.
Yeah. So we spoke to a wonderful lady called Sarah. And we've done this segment before. It's our customer service segment. Nintendo's going to sue us.
Oh, yeah.
Our customer service segment. So what we do is when we, well, in any case, really, anyone who has a mind or is willing to, we ask them for a subject or a topic in which to contribute to the podcast. And Sarah was mightily kind and awesome and terrible to give us a subject of, can we trust the media?
Dun, dun, dun.
The answer is no. Next segment. No.
So if you don't know, my wife, who has accidentally featured on the podcast due to Adam arriving late and we needed to get started recording, she used to be a journalist.
Yep.
So I'm incredibly biased in this.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think you can't trust journalists. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I trust my wife, yes. And she was a journalist. So.
Well, yeah, okay, so I think there's a difference here. So you can still trust your wife if yes. she's a journalist, but the people who she works for, your
the
wife,
media, the greater company.
The conglomerate, if you will.
Because try as she might, she just has to write the stories. That
whatever the editor wants.
Yes.
And the editor has to put out whatever the owner wants, you know?
Yes.
So, Sarah, you've put forth this topic, so we are going to discuss, can we trust the media?
Okay, let's not do that.
So, I am of the opinion that obviously not all media is untrustworthy.
Okay.
However, that being
said, Netflix, totally trustworthy.
100%.
Like, oh man, that all those space explorations in the Jupiters. Oh man,
total documentary.
Yeah, the Lost in Space documentary, so good.
Yeah, so good. So the greater media as a whole, that there's always the problem of fake news, and I dislike using the term.
Yes,
but sadly, it is a term that is applicable because let's say on Facebook. And you may, we had a minor discussion with this about net neutrality with myself yes. and Tyson. So we're not going to go too deep into it. But fake news is a big problem because it does affect society. Mm. So let's just say it's election time here in Australia. Okay?
It's is not. It?
No.
I was going to say.
But let's
oh,
say
man,
it
I
is.
Haven't voted.
Let's say. Oh, no. Okay. So, Australia, right? And let's just say a news article comes out on Facebook that says, Turnbull corrupt, millions taken in corruption scheme. You read it, it appears to have a whole bunch of facts and whatever, and you go away believing that Malcolm Turnbull has a corrupt type of personality, which means you probably wouldn't vote for him. Or the same for Bill Shorten, the Labour leader, where it says, sexual harassment claim, Bill Shorten in hot water, you know? All these things, complete nonsense, but like in this hypothetical scenario, of course, those type of articles go out by anonymous sources, whatever the case may be, and that's going to affect how people vote, which is going to affect the outcome of an entire country. And the same thing for America. What if your election time, and it does happen, not just in America, it happens in Australia as well, there's a whole bunch of fake news articles out there about every candidate because the media can be biased.
Now, there is a little bit of protection against this.
Defamation.
Yes, that's right. So, even the journalists themselves can get sued for defamation. So, if they didn't do due diligence and credit a story that was based off nothing or hearsay or just one person's account, the person who was defamed, I don't know what you call
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is able to sue them. So, there is that keeping the journalists working hard to make sure they can find the best facts they can.
For the journalists as a whole, sure. But when I say media, I'm thinking more media platforms.
Yes, that's right.
So, Facebook is a media platform nowadays. That's where a lot of people consume their news.
And literally anything could go out there. And you would never know who originally wrote it.
Exactly.
There's no accountability there.
But let's go to mainstream media then. Okay? So, okay. One of the tabloids here in Australia, I think it was New Idea.
Of course you know this.
I do, yeah. Oh, my favorite.
Gotta keep up.
It's my favorite topic. So, New Idea, or something along those lines. Rebel Wilson, an Australian entertainer. She's appeared in movies like Bridesmaids, I think.
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect, that one. She was on a show called Kath and Kim here. No, that was Magda Skovronsky.
Yeah, different.
She was on a... What was she on in Australia? Rebel Wilson. She was something in Australia, I'm sure of it. Regardless, John will look that up for us. The tabloid, whichever one it was, printed something false about her, something quite defaming, something unpleasant. And this happens to a lot of celebrities, but Rebel had enough. So she took them to court and won because what was printed was false. So, of course, they had the they were legally liable and got quite a big payout.
She was on Bogan Pride.
There was something else for sure.
Yeah.
it doesn't matter, though. So, yeah, that's a... Media used incorrectly is damaging to people and society as a whole. And I don't think that there is any trust in media anymore.
Mm.
I mean, all credibility is lost when things like that occur. I mean, what was it in the UK with... Was it Rupert Murdoch's The Sun, I think? Anyway, they had phone tap, wiretaps, all sorts of stuff. And they closed the paper down because of this type of controversy. Terrible things. You can't... Like, once trust is broken with the media, it's so difficult to get back. They generally have to change presenters, CEOs, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that's good because it keeps the media accountable.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
Because, like, there's a lot of sensationalization that has to happen. Like, even the story might be true, but it's just given... The story is given in a way that makes it sound way bigger than it ever is. Like, oh my goodness, how could they tamper with the cricket ball? Which was a massive thing. And it's like, they cheated at a sport. Like, like it's bad, but not terrible. Like, it's
Prince
nobody
Philip
hurt,
seeing
like,
ogling, scantily clad woman when it's a second clip of him looking over at some woman. You know, it's... These type of things happen. Yeah.
It's like, why? Whoa. Oh, no. And then looks away and it's like too late because they can edit out that part. Yeah. So there's a lot of this sensationalization. But the reason is media companies are just another company. They need to make money.
Yeah.
And the only way to make money is to make views. And the hardest bit about this, and it's such a hard truth to admit, but they are only going to make sensationalized articles that we are going to want to read, that we are going to want to watch. That's the only way they can make money. So it's our own fault that they're giving us this stuff.
Well,
so
I
we need
stay
to
away
just...
from clickbait stuff.
Yes.
So if I ever see one of these things on Facebook, what I do is I look in the comments first. Because generally there's Captain Clickbait who saves the day. He will give you a two-sentence...
Saved you a clickmate.
Yeah. Exactly. Hashtag save clickbait. And it's a two-sentence summary of... what the news article is about instead of going through all the nonsense and, as you say, all the sensationalism of whatever balderdash they are putting forth. Or the, what's it, plodclop or whatever it is. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the media in general. You can always trust the nerd's way, though, because we research each fact properly.
Yes, that's right. That's why you definitely can't hear me typing away to research. I think, though, like, news and the media organizations, we do actually need them. And I know they get a lot of flack nowadays, but I would say that we do actually need them. We need people whose job it is to be able to sift through the facts, try to get to the sources, try to work out what's happened. And because I was actually reading a blog the other day where the person was saying they've switched... off of Facebook and stuff, and they are getting the paper newspaper again. And I was like, that's a bit weird, because they were a technology investor, quite a famous one. And I was like, I wonder why they didn't want to go for technology, because surely you want the fastest thing, the latest news, the breaking headlines. But he was like, no, we don't actually want instant news, because the real world is not instant. It's slow. It takes a while to figure out exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to get a slightly skewed version of the truth if it's just the very first thing that comes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were saying it's better to actually stick to the paper news because it has a certain amount of time that needs to go into editing and you're going to have a few different viewpoints by the time you find about anything.
Hmm. I was like that old saying, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has even up and got its pants on. Which is true. I mean, if anything pops up on Facebook, like breaking, it has my interest. But, I mean, free media is the key. And I'm talking about completely free media away from the ideas of commercial interests. So let's say we have a news agency, all right? And one of our sponsors is, I don't know, Pepsi Coca, all right?
Okay.
And as we are reporting the news, a breaking headline comes in from one of our reporters that says, Pepsi Coca has cocaine, methamphetamines, and dog feces.
Oh, boy.
Within the drink.
We can't report that, right? Because they're paying for us.
Exactly. So the question is it really free media if corporations have a say in what you can and cannot say on the air?
Yes, it's all free media, and we're definitely not sponsored by the popular media companies at all. So don't worry, all media is good. Goodbye.
All listen to the regular media. Listen to Fox News, Sky News, BBC, ABC.
Actually, the ABC and BBC are pretty good.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's up to you guys if you want to listen to the media. I just recommend researching instead of having...
Stay skeptical.
Exactly. Never trust. Be constantly skeptical about everything.
Never trust.
Never trust. No,
it's a bit... Oh, dear. So, Adam, I have found the ultimate song.
Oh.
So, it's been a while since we last did our music
segment. Yeah, we haven't had a music in a while. Haven't had a music in a while. Yes, there we go. Well done, Adam.
That's grammar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Top notch.
We haven't had a music here in some time.
But I found this song. I actually have known about it for a while. It's by Jonathan Colton, who wrote the Still Alive Portal theme song, which I was very surprised that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how he made his fame. He made a different song every single week.
Yep.
And this is one of the songs. And I just thought, no other song is so perfect for the premise of our podcast.
Oh, okay. I like it. Is this going to be our new theme song?
Maybe. I don't think we can get the rights for it, but sure.
We could ask.
I'm risking it a bit just to play it here, but I'm just don't tell anyone.
Yep.
Jonathan, if you're listening, great music.
We love you, and this is a review. So, you guys can't see my eyes, but they're shifting.
Yeah, this is fair use. Okay. But yes, this will be Adam's first time listening to the song, so I'm interested to know what he thinks.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brain. I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay. Someday you'll be out of food and guns, and you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly. Oh! I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. Compromise. You open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. I sure appreciate the way you're working with me. I'm not a monster, Tom. Well, technically I am. I guess I. Somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed. When I bash your head open,
all we want to do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we want to do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. You open up the door. We'll all come inside and eat your brains.
Brilliant. That was so incredibly humorously dark that it certainly speaks to me on a spiritual level.
Oh, it started the next one. Whoops.
So, brilliant. Loved it. I hope you loved it too.
I should also point out that Adam was doing a combination of air kandar and interpretive dance.
I like to interpret a zombie eating my brains through the illicit movement of dance.
Mm.
And explicit.
Oh, boy. Okay, moving on.
Now, John.
Mm.
You have a topic you'd wish to discuss with our fine listeners this evening.
Well, I am what the common folk refer to as a computer geek. Or as we like to refer to it in the computer science industry, as a software engineer.
Oh, yes.
Now, I've been thinking about this greatly.
Because mm-hmm.
some of my friends have more practical jobs. Like, let's say you're a guard. You can, like, discover all the nooks and crannies. And, like, you have experience with combat. I'm sure, probably not. but, you know, that's an applicable skill in the apocalypse.
What
for my friend who's a tree lopper. Like, being able to climb trees and find wood and all this is valuable skill.
Mm-hmm.
In the apocalypse, all the computers are going to be gone. Like, I'm just putting it out there.
The potential, unless they've got backup generators or something.
So, I think that my career choice is actually more likely to cause the apocalypse than to help us during it.
I'm not going to disagree. I already think you've got a hand in it.
Well, I mean, we're working on it. It's hard work bringing about the apocalypse.
But I mean, yeah. You've already created DarWare, for short. DarWare for short.
So, let's take, for instance, last week you said, or it was 2 weeks ago now, the Grey Goo hypothesis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's actually quite likely. Maybe not that one specifically, but a whole train of things.
You hear that, Tyson? It is actually quite likely. Thank you.
No, I mean, the theoretical concept it represents.
Everybody listening, possible. I have been vindicated. Bask in my glory.
Oh, boy, what have I done?
Yep. Sorry, but go ahead.
There's all these sorts of theoretical problems that can happen from computer science, especially as we work into machine intelligence a lot more. Now, again, a lot of it is sensationalized. Like, it's not oh, someone's going to type one wrong line of code and then suddenly computers rule us all. If that were possible, I would have done it and sold it and been a rich millionaire by now. Okay? So it's going to take a lot of work, but they're there and they're interesting problems to think about. And it's very possible that the apocalypse will be caused by something going wrong with AI.
Mm-hmm.
However, I doubt it'll be computer robots walking around shooting us or enslaving us. I think what it'll be is eventually we'll have AI throughout our whole house. And something, there'll just be a glitch bug, mm-hmm. and suddenly all the, like, electrics of the house will turn off and it's like, oh no, our food has all gone stale. What are we going to do?
Hmm.
That's probably a more likely cause of the apocalypse than, yep. say, for instance, the singularity or Grey... Nah, Grey Goose.
Grey Goose totally going to happen. Yeah. Back me up, bro. You're mentoring my co-host.
Okay. Grey Goose definitely happening. Next week, probably.
Yeah.
But there are some uses for electronic skills and programming in the apocalypse.
Okay.
And I would like to refer to a very realistic documentary from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Stranger Things.
Yeah, totes. Yeah, definitely a documentary.
And no spoilers here, but the second season... They basically have to get this gate open, and the only way to get the gate open and turn off the security system is for one of them to sit back and start hacking away and programming.
Mm.
And basically, that's the real situation that could happen. Like, all these big military facilities, they're going to have backup batteries. So even if all power on Earth has gone out... For whatever reason, or all power in the country has gone out.
Mm.
It is very possible that there will be uses for my technical skills. So, Adam, please don't leave me behind in the apocalypse.
Did you just bring this up so that way you'd be in my secret team?
Yes.
Gotcha. Right. Well, I mean, you're already going to be the farmer, so I've got to keep you along for that. But you have doubled your chance of being rescued.
Moral of the story, always have a second hobby just in case.
Yep.
But I'd like to talk about this hacking thing in movies because...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, actually.
It's not realistic at all. So
you mean the 2 seconds of blindly mashing on a keyboard and yes. the door's opening? Yep.
Now, I actually want to prove that anyone can do this.
Okay.
So what I am going to do is I'm going to make a video for the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I've loaded up a program on my computer now.
All right.
And I'm going to film Adam typing, and it's going to look like a scene from a hacking movie.
Okay? Oh, okay, brilliant.
All right, Adam, show us your hacking skills.
Okay, and this is our fancy setup here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay, let me just move this out of the way.
I'm going to do dramatic zoom.
Yeah, if you could as well, just say, we need that door open pronto, Adam.
Adam, we need the door open pronto!
Just a second! I don't know what I can do here. I'm trying. It's just not responding to the code input.
Adam, you broke through. It's working.
Yes, and that's what you get for messing with a nerd. Wait, one of them actually says something. What does it say? Make sure we allocate at least one indirect block pointer. Group info non-group. Yeah, so there you go.
Is
I love this. Could you send this to me? Because I really want this.
Yes, so that just proves that anyone... Go watch the video. It proves that anyone can be a Hollywood hacker. What Adam just did there is probably not much at all. I mean, he's really only allocating memory at the moment. I mean... But anyway, somehow he managed to hack the system. Well
done,
Adam.
Thank you. Yeah, now all your data belongs to me. I'm Facebook.
If you want to try it, just go to hackertyper.com. And don't forget, the only way to be a proper hacker is to wear a hoodie and put it over your head.
Of course.
You were close, Adam, but just not full hacker.
Yeah,
just
my
90%.
Flannel shirt obviously real shows me. I'm a country hacker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Country bumpkin
country
hacker.
Country bumpkin hacker, yeah. Just like, yeah, boy, I'm going to be getting into this computer hardware right now.
My dad showed me how to do computers.
Back on the farm, we used to crack these computers like eggs.
Anyway, yes.
So if that's the skill you're bringing, hacking, typing, I don't think I need you in my group.
I can also really program. That's not what I do at work, just sitting with that on the screen.
Now that's all I'm picturing. It's just you sitting there at work, just pretending to hit these, like your boss walks past, you're just like, quickly typing this, just looking like you're doing something. Walks past, nods, and just like, John, Oh, sorry. Let me put on a voice for your boss. Hey there, Johnny boy. Looks like you've been working hard. Productivity in your sector has increased by a solid 13%.
Oh, wow.
I must say, you might need a promotion. Thanks, what are you boss. Working on at the moment?
Memory allocation.
Ah, very good. Yes, we have been having problem down in the memory. So, in the core. The RAM is low.
Good, actually. That's, yep.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to promote you to a senior assistant director for infrastructure maintenance crew doppelgangers.
Thank you, sir. That's now I'll just right. type it's a twice as fast on the... Oh, no.
Yeah.
But yes, so I honestly think computer science probably more likely to cause the apocalypse.
Oh, I probably agree. I think we've actually discussed it in a certain manner on nuclear near misses. Where there was a glitch where NORAD, its radar, was showing a mass movement, what appeared to be a huge fleet coming out of Russia or something like that. And the computer, obviously it'll make sense in a moment, the computer saw like huge fleets coming towards them, I was about to say cars, but cars can't drive over water.
Boats,
ships, and planes coming towards this main military base. And nuclear stuff was prepared to launch as a counterstrike.
Yeah.
Thankfully, some very wise individual looked in a bit deeper before just going straight to, let's blow them up, boys! To, oh, it's the moonrise.
What?
Yeah. It was the moonrise, and the computer stupidly has gone, Russia's attacking, we need to, you know, bomb them. So, yeah,
oh, wow.
Thank goodness for that young technician who,
good job.
Averted nuclear apocalypse.
All right. That was a good episode. I feel like we've invalidated my career choice.
No, I think it's good because, you know, how in today's society, computer stuff is so much... Let's look at this. You edit the podcast.
True.
I wouldn't have a bloody idea how to do it. You give me the program and I'd just be like, eh. I'm going to press this button. I'm just going to load up that page, the hacker typer,
yeah.
And just type that on the train. And
I'm editing
like,
so hard.
Just shifty eyes on the train, just going, mm-hmm, yep, I'm totally hacking. Look at me. You know, like you try to do the inconspicuous, conspicuous, like motion, essentially? So you pretend to be inconspicuous, which instantly makes you conspicuous to everyone around you.
Yeah.
So you do that while typing real quickly on your computer. You do that, I bet you any amount of money people are going to take notice and just be like,
okay,
what's this guy doing? Oh my God, this guy's a hacker. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? So, because they're teenage girls, apparently. Your career choice is perfectly fine.
All right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yes, so I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Maybe you have a few ideas of what to watch next, like Infinity War, and listen to the Lagging Balls podcast.
Yo.
And watch Lost in Space.
Yep. And have a big think about your fears and how best to overcome them. Mine is nuns and, well, pretty much gravity, you could say. Think about that.
And the eventual heat death of the universe.
Yeah, eventually. But, I mean, that's a long way off, and I've got time to avert it. But think about this. If Harry Potter were real, and a Bogart popped out of the closet, what would it turn into for you?
I always thought it was pronounced Boggart. Oh, Bogart. Life is Boggart. A lie.
Well, I mean, you're a Ravenclaw. I'm a Slytherin.
Yeah.
A Slytherin.
What would it be?
What would what be? Mine would be a nun, obviously.
Yeah, but my, like, height is not a thing.
You're afraid of diseases as well.
Oh, no, yeah. Like
so a leper would pop... Yeah, so like a leper would pop out and be like... Bruh, 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 bruh. You'd, you know, like jump on you and start salivating on you.
Oh, so gross.
Mm-hmm.
Like and nails. You just make it laugh. No, you laugh. Something.
That's you've got to turn it into something funny.
Ah, right, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would turn it into... How do you make that funny? I guess
how do you make a
challenge.
Leper funny?
Like, I don't know, he starts jumping around and like...
Would
instead
that make
of
you laugh?
Pus coming out of his sores, it's like...
Rainbows.
Yeah.
He pops one of his sores and just instead of, you know, horrid, disgusting it's like fluid, it's like... Kittens.
Princess Unikitty from the Lego Movie.
Hi there! I'm here to save the day! That would probably horrify me more, to be honest.
Yeah, true. Just, let's keep working on that idea.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I hope you've enjoyed the episode. If you haven't, please direct all hate mail to voiceofadam@Twitter. And if you have any comments or feedbacks, you can put that on our normal our normal Twitter, which is the nerdsway_pod.
Yes, well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. I finally memorized it. You can email us at the, I was about to say the Nerdsway podcast, but it's not. It's just the nerdsway@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And you can search for us on Facebook.
Yep, or facebook.com/thenerdsway.
Indeed, and it is the Nerds Way. I don't know.
That's what I said. All right. It's breaking up.
Particular emphasis on the nerds just for our, you know, fellow listeners. So
if you don't see yourself as a nerd, that's okay. You can listen to this podcast too.
Indeed.
But nerds are the best. So don't see it as a bad thing. Just embrace your inner nerd.
Indeed.
Oh, no. Diseases. Adam is a pocket.
So embrace your inner nerd, ladies and gentlemen. Consume all the culture you can, be it pop or alt. And we will see you next week.